Welcome to episode 9 of the Trail Talk Podcast. Guys, I'm super excited to be here today, and I appreciate that you've come along on this journey to tune in to one of our positives episodes. This one is all about hotel life. That's right, we're putting aside the single track, the summits, the mountains, the overnight hikes, all the adventure stuff that we do commonly speak about. And we definitely love, it's near and dear to our heart. But this one is not about 14ers. It's not about month-long road trips. It's about hotels. And they are a very real part of our traveling life. I'm super excited to dive into it, guys, give you guys some tips, some tricks, and some personal advice for traveling with your dog to especially big cities and staying in a hotel, whether it's glamorous or not. Before we get started, I just want to thank you guys for all the support with our transition to our new podcast host, Anchor. Things have been going very well. Over this past week or two, we've had about 1,000 downloads across our new channels, which is super cool that you guys are listening in new areas besides just iOS and Android platforms. And let's see here. I wanted to share with you guys, we are now on a few new venues in case you use any of these besides Anchor and Apple and the usual ones that I share usually and in previous episodes. We are now also on Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, and Radio Public. If I shared any of those in the past, don't mind the duplication. But just so you guys know, now we are on almost 10 different channels, which is super cool. And it's spreading the message, which is the ultimate goal here, helping people give their dogs a life worth living. And that is super awesome. So I'm so thankful to have you guys for the journey today. And now it's time for us to dive into episode 9.
Okay, boy. Let's go.
And now, your host of the Trail Talk Podcast, Anthony Fanucci.
So welcome to episode 9, everybody. Super excited for this episode. I am in the perfect setting, in my opinion, to record this type of material because I am at the Hilton Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland, with, of course, my Golden Retriever, River. And we are living up the city life temporarily, guys. And I have to say, it's been pretty awesome. Baltimore, you can form your own opinions about. It's not the safest, but we've had a really good time. And we've been exploring despite a lot of rain that's been coming in and out. So it's been a really enjoyable trip and absolute perfect setting for this podcast on hotel life with your dog, whether that's for a night, for a couple nights, or for a longer stay. These are some things that we think you should know beforehand and once you get to your location. There's a lot of materials, so we've condensed as much as possible. I'm going to try and keep it pretty organized for you guys so that way you can follow along and you're not wondering the whole time where the heck I'm going with things. So with that, let's get going here because I don't want the podcast episode to be too long. I want it to be shorter and some actionable items that you can take away with you and implement for your next trip with your dog. So first step is finding a hotel. And quick side note, this is not going to apply to any other type of stays, so things like Airbnb. I'm focusing 100% on hotels. At first, I was going to try and combine them, but I realized that there's a lot of different subtleties and different tricks for things like Airbnb. So maybe that'll be a future episode or a future tag on to another show that we offer. So this one is strictly hotels, just so you guys know. So finding the hotel. This is actually a part that a lot of you probably think is the most challenging, and it's actually not. It's actually one of the easiest parts because dog-friendly accommodations have become more popular again. People know that, you know, travelers want to be with their dogs, and it's a really attractive thing for a hotel to allow pets. Now, there's a lot of nuances behind that statement, though. So, first, finding the hotel. I'm going to throw out a website that a lot of you have probably found on Google or through a friend or something like that, and that's bringfido.com. This is a very common website, and I've found it to be quite good. Every once in a while, it leads me astray, but for the most part, really good. The reviews are accurate. The criteria that they list about the hotels are really good, and they link out to the hotel websites. So overall, I've been really successful using Bring Fido with my dog, and I know friends have too. So bringfido.com is a really awesome website that allows you to type in your location, and you can find not only dog-friendly hotels, but things like dog-friendly restaurants and coffee shops. So check it out. It's a really good starting point. Either Googling dog-friendly hotels or going right to bringfido.com is a really perfect starting point to begin your search. Then what I do is, once I find a hotel that I think is good, I like reviews. I am a review junkie. I love Amazon reviews. I love reviews for hotels. I really trust other people's opinions, especially when there's a lot of them. So if I see that there's 150 4.5 stars or something like that, I'm going to know, hey, this is pretty good. Bring Fido a lot of times will, for semi-popular places or those that are moderately traveled to, won't have a ton of reviews. So I like to go to another website, which I know you guys are familiar with, and that's TripAdvisor. I like to go there because I like to look at the reviews, and there's also going to be more photos on TripAdvisor. So I combo these two because bringfido.com is really great for the dog information and finding a dog-friendly hotel. It narrows down my search, but then websites like TripAdvisor allow me to read comments and get some finer details about the place. So once you have narrowed it down, I would suggest finding two or three hotels that you're interested in traveling to and that you found out are dog-friendly. My suggestion then is to go right to their website or pick up the phone. And there's a few critical points that I want you to look for in this search, whether you're talking with a customer rep or you're looking on their website. I can't stress enough, though, not to use a third-party website for this info, because even though it's likely right, there's a good chance it could be wrong, and that could really mess up your plan. So I want you on the website for the hotel or calling the hotel itself for the following info. First one. Number of pets maximum per room. This won't apply to everyone. I travel with one dog, so I know if they're dog friendly, I'm good to go. But some of you that have two, three, maybe four dogs, not only is that going to make traveling a little more harder for you, but you want to make sure that your room that you're staying in accommodates that amount of dogs, because it's dog friendly doesn't mean you're allowed to have over three, for example. A lot of places have a two dog max. So that's the first thing. Second thing, very, very critical. Some places don't check this at all, but some places absolutely do. Weight limits. And I'm not saying that they have some, guy at the front door with a scale every time you walk in the door with a dog. But when a hotel has a 20-pound weight limit and I walk in with my golden retriever that is 70-plus pounds, they don't need a scale for that. They definitely don't need to pull out a scale and prove that I'm wrong. It's very obvious that she is not 20 pounds. So I want you to check weight limits. These are all over the place, guys. They can be 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 75 pounds. They're all over. And I really want you to check that before you go, just to make sure that just because it's dog friendly, that your dog meets the criteria. If your dog is under, I'd say 15 or 20 pounds, you're pretty much good to go everywhere that's dog friendly. So weight limits and pet max are the first two things. Next one that you won't see as often. We see this one a lot if we go to like a campground or something. But for hotels, you won't see this one too much. But it's always good to check. And that's vaccine records. Seeing if they need proof of anything. Because I will tell you, when you arrive at a hotel or you're at a hotel on a weekend and your vet either isn't in the office or only a receptionist is available and you can't get your vaccine records on the spot, it could really pose a problem because a lot of places want to see something like a verification of a rabies vaccine. So seeing if they need any vaccine records, it's always safe to check. Like I said, hotels usually don't require this too often. One thing that hotels do require, which is a bummer depending on the amount that they want, is an extra fee. So two things to look for when you're looking for an extra fee. One, do they have a fee for having a dog? Two, how much is it? And I'm going to add a third one here. Three, is it a one-time fee or is it per night? Because I can tell you if a place has a $25 fee and it's per night, that adds up quickly. And this is just money for having your dog there. So I try and stay at places that avoid this or only do a one-time fee. Definitely check it out though so you don't have any surprises when you're going to pay for the room. Because I've seen some of them be quite steep in terms of price. $50, $70 are the higher end of what I've seen. Most of them are $20, $25 though. All right, so the next thing I want you to talk about over the phone, because you're probably not going to find this online. You might find a policy online though, so it's worth a shot. One thing I want you to check though for sure is, can you leave your dog in the room unattended? Because let's face it, there's a very good chance you're going to be stepping out, whether it's for a meeting or a lunch or something like that, where you can't bring your dog with you. I want you to check to see if you can leave your dog behind in an unattended state in the room. Now, I'm going to tell you that most places are going to tell you no. I've seen very few places that, first of all, no one's probably going to say yes on a website. Some of them, when you call, they might say it's okay. But I will tell you that most places, especially the bigger chains, are going to have a policy that says dogs cannot be left unattended. And that's largely because of liability for them and disturbance to other guests. So what my suggestion is to you is know your dog. Have I stayed at places that say you can't leave your dog unattended in the room? And I've left my dog unattended in the room? Absolutely, guys. Like, I know my dog very well. I know she's going to be very calm when I leave, and I know nobody's going to even think that she's in there or hear a sound from her. I'm very confident with that. I don't know anything about your dog, though, so I don't want to issue that as like a blanket statement or recommendation. Also, there's always a chance that you could be held liable for that. If the hotel finds out, you know, I don't think they would do anything too drastic, but who knows? So it's a really good thing to check about. I know some hotels will let you leave your dog unattended as long as you provide the front desk a phone number as a contact, just in case your dog is loud or someone complains or something like that. That way they can reach you. And that's something that when you arrive, you might be able to do in person better than over the phone. And they might let you get away with that. So it's a really important thing to look up though, guys. All right, guys. And the final point that I think is important or worth investigating before you book a hotel is grass, greenery. Guys, we're adventure enthusiasts. I know for a fact that most people listening to this podcast love grass for their dog, woods, a trail, something outdoors based that is not sidewalk. It's not concrete or blacktop or small pebble in front of a hotel, because when your dog's got to go to the bathroom, having him or her pee on the side of a building is just not attractive to other people. It's not attractive to us, and your dog doesn't like it too much either. Well, most of them don't. Some of them like to have their freedom. But grass is something that you can't always research or ask about. And I can tell you that I've asked about this over the phone, and some people are like, oh my gosh, this is the first time anyone's ever asked me about grass before coming to a hotel. But you can call. And what I mean by that is you can call and just say, do you have any grass patches or sections around your hotel, like in the front or on the side, in case my dog has to go outside? One thing I like to do, since that conversation is usually a little awkward, is I like to look on Google Maps, bring it up, put it on to either street view or satellite view, play which one you see is better. Satellite view will be a lot better for small patches, and look for green blocks. Those are grass. They are digital grass, but those are sections that your dog can usually go to the bathroom. If you're not having luck around the immediate hotel area, what I like to do then is expand out a little bit, and I like to look for dog parks. I am not a fan of city dog parks. Personal opinion, some of them have been really nice, some not so much, but I'm just not a big fan of them. But when you're staying in a city that you don't know well, and you need to give your dog some space, sometimes they're a good option. So you can look for those as well. But let's just say when it's 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, on the first night you get there and your dog has to run out to the bathroom really quick, you want to know right where you're headed just to let your dog go to the bathroom. So that way you're not running around waiting for the white signal guy to signal that you can walk across the street, and you're trying to get your dog to go to the bathroom on some really rough stone or some city art or something like that. Know where the grass is at. So the next step, guys, that I want to talk about here is booking the hotel, the actual action of picking a room and confirming where you're going to be staying. This is a short section, but two things that I want to mention. The first one is know in the comments when you make the reservation that you have a dog, or call ahead and just tell someone at the front desk that you have a dog with you. Always better to tell them beforehand rather than just stumbling in there with your best friend that is on four legs and doesn't look like humans, because sometimes you never know if that hotel has a special rule or if they had to make special accommodations or select a certain room for you since you have a dog. So always let them know upon booking. That way everything is good to go right from the get-go. And the other thing is, in terms of picking a room, is selecting a room on the lowest floor possible. You can ask for that. And near an exit is a great thing as well. I find that the lowest floor level is the biggest thing, though. I have stayed in hotels with my dog on the 18th floor and waiting for the elevator and then enjoying the very slow elevator ride down as people get on at 7, 6, 2, and you're just waiting and your dog is very frantic waiting to go to the bathroom. It's a tough experience because you're anxious to get your dog outside and your dog's got to go. So being on the lowest floor possible is a great thing to be, a great spot to be at. And if you're near an exit, it just makes things even easier, guys. So it's a good request if you can submit that to the hotel when you're booking. The next topic or category that I want to focus on are things to pack. I have to say, this is where the list can get really long. Everybody has those special things for their dog. I'm just a gear-loving addict that likes to spoil my dog and buy really good things, especially when it has a certain tag called rough wear on it. And I'm just a big fan. I like to buy stuff and experiment with stuff. But I'm going to tell you this. When you travel, especially to a hotel, having less stuff is really, really nice. It reduces stress levels drastically. And you know that you have the important things this way. So I'm going to give you a quick hit list of items that I always, absolutely always have for my dog. A lot of them will be common sense. And then I'm not going to really go too far beyond that. But just so you have an idea, and maybe you can write them down as a quick checklist for yourself. First one is food, obviously. And it sounds obvious, but I've forgotten it. And I went down, some of you have too. It sounds like a really awful dog owner, dog parent thing to do. It's like forgetting to feed your kids, but I've done it. And I'll admit that. So not only does that stink because then your dog is hungry and you go to feed him or her and you realize you don't have food, but then you're scrambling to find a place to get food. And then you have to buy food that you didn't need because you had it at home. And it's just a really poor circumstance. So make sure you bring the food. We always measure it out beforehand and then bring a little bit extra. We also like to bring a measuring cup because that's what we use to pour River's kibble out. So bring that too, if you use one. Bowls. I like to use River's travel bowls. Roughware has some really excellent base camp bowls for this. You can also use something like the Bivy bowl that collapses, more of a travel style bowl. So whichever you prefer, but some sort of bowls for water and food. Next one that I always, always, always bring is toys. Toys serve two primary purposes, in my opinion. One is to keep your dog from chewing or latching onto anything in the room that isn't yours and you don't want your dog chewing. And the other thing is it's comforting for your dog to have something that is his or her, something that's common and that is known. So toys are a really great thing. We usually bring two or three. A blanket is kind of along the same lines, or something that brings that smell from home. You can bring anything, small, large, whatever you feel like carrying. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just to bring something familiar from home, especially if this is your first or second trip with a dog to a hotel. It could really let your dog know, hey, we're in an okay place. I don't know exactly where I am, but you know, it still seems like I have some stuff from home. Everybody's calm, and I think this is going to be a pretty cool trip. So we like to bring something familiar from home, especially in the beginning. The next thing is your dog tags, which will likely be on your dog's collar. Super important, though, especially since you're going to a unfamiliar area. Dog tags, we usually make sure River will have her rabies tag on, and also her contact tag with our information on it. Super important. Vaccine papers I already talked about, but if needed, even if not needed, if you want to just, I always bring a list with confirmed vaccines from our vet, just to make sure that we have them in case we run into that situation, because like I said, they are a very challenging thing to get on the spot. And last but not least on my hit list of must bring items, and probably one of the most important, please do not forget the poo bags. That's right, guys. Do not forget the poo bags, because now not only are you trying to get your dog to go to the bathroom in an unfamiliar area, but you're going likely in an area with a lot of people around you, because you're not at the woods in the middle of nowhere anymore, depending on where you live, but you are surrounded by people. I can tell you, when I take River to go out to the bathroom, it is a mixture of kids just screaming to pet her, parents yelling at the kids because they can't, other dogs trying to sniff her, people in front of the hotel watching her. It is just like a circus. So have the poo bag, because there is no chance, A, that you're getting out of there without judgment if you try and leave it, but more importantly, you don't want to leave it. That just destroys the name for dog owners. And if you appreciate dog friendly accommodation, guys, I can't express to you enough how far this goes, because if you want to ruin it in any way, that is the way, because when the hotel manager comes in and steps on your dog's droppings, then there go the dog friendly accommodations that you enjoyed so much. Seriously, though, guys, it is a very serious thing to bring. I just said serious twice in a sentence, so you know it's really important. But definitely bring the poo bags. So once you arrive to the hotel, first of all, know your dog. If you don't think your dog can, you know, manage to sit by your side or stay pretty calm while you're checking in, then either let the dog stay in the car if the car's close for a second. Check in beforehand if possible. A lot of hotels let you do that. Or maybe you can have your friend hold a dog, or find a way to try and keep your dog calm. Some people have a portable crate. If their dog is smaller, you can leave the dog in that. Just know that you don't want your first interaction with the hotel to be an awful one, where, you know, Buddy or Rocket or something are jumping over the counter and destroying everything they have. Even though personally, I would laugh at that. If they're not dog people, they're not going to be too fond of it. Second is when you get into the room, set up their space, make it their own. If your dog sleeps in a crate, that's another great thing to bring. I personally, we only use a crate in the beginning when training our dogs, so we don't travel with a crate. But if your dog is comfortable only sleeping in a crate at home and sleeps in a crate consistently, it might be worthwhile to bring on the trip, because if not, not only are you going to throw the dog off with a new environment, but now the dog's comfort zone is gone. So consider bringing the crate along and give your dog a space. Put the blanket down, put the toys out, make it like a mini home, even if it's for a night or two. One thing I always do, and I've never had really a big issue come up with this, but I always, when I get into the hotel room, I always scan and I get down hands and knees like a dog, because you want to be at their level, and I'm not going around like a crazy maniac. I'm just scanning, because just imagine if someone left behind some medication and there's a pill on the ground, or if there's something sharp or toxic, who knows? It doesn't take much to harm a dog. So you just want to do a quick glance. It takes maybe 30 to 60 seconds. It's not a big hindrance to me, and I know it's keeping my dog safe. So I always do a quick scan of the area just to make sure the room is in good condition for my dog. So not much to do once you get there. So it's a really great thing. Now you can start to enjoy the room. To me, this is when it starts to get really fun. I have a weird interest in hotel rooms. I love staying in them, even though I'm not a big city fan. They're just a little home away from home, and I really enjoy them. And especially when I'm with my dog, because I know that I'm with, you know, one of my most important friends and most important things, and I could be calm and enjoy the moment and the adventure that, you know, have been given to me there. All right, so that is the bulk of finding a place and getting to a place, getting to a hotel and getting settled in a safe manner and in a place that actually allows dogs. That's kind of the bulk of tips. There are a lot more, but now I want to go into a bit of a miscellaneous category or some extras. These could have fit into some things above, but they're kind of just extras that I want to make sure are, you know, said, because they are important and they might be something that's on your mind, even if they're not for everybody. First one is something that I throw out there a lot whenever you go anywhere new. And that is finding a local vet, or possibly more importantly, a place that offers emergency vet or animal services, just in case. You guys know I'm big on throwing this one out there, because you never know. You never know when you're going to need a place. And you think it's hard to find a place when you're just looking in a calm state. Picture you needing a service for your dog quickly, and you're trying to Google it or ask someone where you can go, and then you're finding places that are closed and you don't know which one's open, and it could be very hectic and waste a lot of time. So scan it out beforehand. It takes a couple minutes and you can mark the name down, the address, and maybe a phone number. Super simple, guys. So make sure you do that. Next one is housekeeping. So this is something I didn't really ever think about until I was in the hotel, and every hotel handles it differently. Some hotels, if you tell them you have a dog, and this is another good reason to tell them you have a dog, is they'll tell housekeeping to not clean the room, and you have to schedule cleanings when you're going to be out if you do want the room cleaned. So that's how some hotels handle it. Some don't tell housekeeping anything. I've had people walk right in and see my dog and run right out. Even though she's far from a savage beast, she is a dog, and some people don't like dogs. So I always ask the hotel if they're going to inform housekeeping that I have a dog. If not, I just put a little note on the door handle that says, cleaning not needed today. I wouldn't say that there's a dog inside because I don't want people to know that I have a dog there. But I would just say cleaning not needed. A lot of places even provide those that you can hang in the door handle. If I run into the cleaning lady in the hall, I'll just ask for maybe a towel or something like that. And that's all that's needed. Guys, if you're going for 2 days or 3 days or something, it's really not a big deal. So just make sure you check in with them, though, about how they handle it with house cleaning, just so your dog doesn't scare the daylights out of the cleaning lady or cleaning man that's there in the hotel, because it could be an interesting experience. So the next one I want to say is the first time you leave the room, the first time you leave your dog behind, if you're choosing to do so and allowed to do so, go somewhere close, either down the hall, go to the lobby and back. Don't go for 5 minutes, but go for, 15, 20, maybe somewhere in there. Let your dog settle in and see how he or she reacts. See if you come back and the room is totally in shambles, or if your dog is just hanging out. Go for a test trial. Sometimes I've even stood in the hall for 5 minutes, which could seem like an eternity when you're just sitting there, but just to make sure that everything was cool. It gave me peace of mind and I knew my dog was settling down. When you do leave the room, if you choose to do so, huge tip, even if you don't do this at home, is to put on the TV. Put the TV on for the dog. Choose your favorite show. Who knows, maybe it's your dog's favorite show as well. Throw it on. At minimum, put a radio on. Dogs get very funny if they're just sitting in a super quiet cube. So, especially if it's an unknown area. So throw the TV on, it'll distract them. They won't hear all the subtle noises of like the cleaning lady and a dump truck and something like that outside, or people walking down the hall and talking. It's a really nice distraction and it just serves as white noise. So make sure you do that when you leave. I've found it extremely helpful with several of my dogs. The next one that I've never used, so I can't provide too much insight on, but might be a good option, especially if you do it at home, is doggy like daycare, some sort of watch service that if you have to step out for multiple hours or you don't think your dog can handle being in the room alone, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't travel with your dog. It means that you might have to look at other options. So doggy daycare or something similar is a possible recommendation. But like I said, I'm far from the expert there. So I'm going to just kind of throw it out there as food for thought. The next thing is actually two or three here, and then we'll wrap it up. The next one are some hotels that we've found really good success with, or I have friends that have found really, really positive encounters and experiences with. A lot of nicer hotels that you wouldn't think are dog friendly actually are the exact opposite. A lot of more upscale, not saying that I'm staying at a Ritz-Carlton by any means, but a lot of the nicer hotels or hotels that have a decent reputation actually treat dogs and their owners quite well. Some even give dog beds, dog bowls, stuff like that. So you'll learn a lot of that in the reviews. I've never stayed at one of these. They're boutique hotels, but it's K-I, M as in Mary, P as in Peter, T as in Tom, O-N, Kimpton. They are a chain of boutique hotels that are super, super duper dog friendly. Go to their website and you will learn that very quickly. They are a little more expensive and they're in the major cities, but if that's something that appeals to you, you have to remember our listeners are pretty wide ranging. So check that out. And if that's something that works for your situation, then I would have to say that they deserve a glowing recommendation based off the experiences that others have had. As far as normal chains, we've had really good success with La Quinta Hotels. Also Marriott, we've had some good experiences with them. Holiday Inn, check those out. Some allow dogs, some don't. They have multiple different like subsets of chains that some are known for it, some are not. And this is actually my first Hilton that I've ever stayed at that was dog friendly. To be honest, I'm usually in like an Airbnb or a different type of hotel. And this is, I have to say that if you're in Baltimore, especially, Hilton is excellent here. Really, really impressive. It's been one of the best experiences we've had. So check that out. But a lot of the bigger chains now allow dogs at hundreds of their locations across the country and even around the globe. I can't provide too much insight as far as other countries because I've never stayed in a hotel in other countries with my dog. So I'm going to stick to U.S. Preferences as far as hotels as that one goes. Another thing, this is a very select few of you this might appeal to, but it's something I do a lot of times. But you have to see if you're staying at a place that allows that has private Wi-Fi, or maybe your device will allow this. Some of the cameras that you use at your home, like a Nest camera, we have one of those, like at our apartment entryway, and we've found that traveling with it is actually super, super helpful. The thing is, most wireless cameras don't let you connect to a public Wi-Fi. So check your camera settings, stuff like that, if you want to travel with it. I know this seems like probably like overkill to a lot of people, and it absolutely is. We leave it home a lot. But if you're staying in a more private home or something like that, which I'm not diving into in this episode, but like especially Airbnbs, we always bring it because you could just slap it wherever you want in the room, connect it to the Wi-Fi that's private, and then you know your dog is safe because you're able to monitor from your phone using the camera. I'll tell you that you can try it with hotels, but it's going to depend on your camera settings. I know Nest does not allow you to connect to public Wi-Fi, which makes sense because then other people would probably find ways to access your camera. So look into that. So I think that is everything I have for you guys. What I'm going to say is if you have questions, check us out on Instagram and shoot us a DM. We can answer them there. And if we miss anything big, we'll incorporate it into the next episodes. We have a couple guests coming up, as always, working out some schedule conflicts and stuff like that. But we have some really good people lined up, and I think you guys are going to be super excited to hear from a lot of them, actually all of them. And we're also going to be throwing down some more positives episodes, and I know you guys will enjoy those too. I hope you all are enjoying your summer. We're off to a really great start here in the Northeast. The weather's been really, really good, and I hope you're getting similar outcomes. Regardless, though, I want to thank you guys for stopping by, listening in. Thank you for all the positive feedback as we especially now begin to focus 100% on the podcast. It's going to be really great, and I can't wait to share all the guest stories and our personal tips and tricks with you guys. Don't forget to check us out not only on Instagram, just look for us, Trail Dogs. It's _trail_dogs_. Or you can visit us on our brand new website, and it's called thetrailtalkpodcast.com. Be sure to check it out. And if you guys are listening, regardless of device or platform or whatever it is, give us a thumbs up, a positive review, a share, a download. And if you're able to subscribe on the platform that you're listening to, please do that because then you'll get updates going forward. And we'll continue to give you guys good content. So keep stopping by, keep spreading the word, and absolute biggest concern, as always, guys, is to keep focusing on giving your dog a life worth living.